Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The season of Advent, more than we may say any other time of the liturgical year, is a season of hope. It is an essential virtue for the Christian life. And unfortunately, it is something that is critically lacking in the world today. As Catholics, we are supposed to be souls of hope. And what does that mean? It means that our gaze is on another world, the world of God. Our Lord's entire message, if we could simplify it, in coming into this world, could be summed up to say, lift your gaze to my Father in heaven. In other words, to lift your gaze to the reality of grace, to the reality of your calling to that supernatural life, to that divine life that God wishes to share with us. And we see this idea of lifting our gaze expressed in the introit of today's Mass. People of Sion, behold, the Lord shall come to save the nations. He shall come to save the nations. He hasn't come yet, but he will come. And there's our basis for this hope, for a justified expectation. And in this office of this Sunday, the Divine Office, so many times we see this text, show us the light of thy countenance, and we shall be saved. There's no mention of doing this or that spectacle, but simply show us the light of thy countenance. But how can we have this light of his countenance? How can we see his countenance if we have our gaze fixed on something other than him? So many souls, sadly, do not have any gaze for the next life. And in a certain sense, they also lack a gaze for even the current life concerning their true purpose, the reason why they're on this earth. And we can say they are of the same crowd who would later imprison St. John the Baptist. We hear it in the Gospel today how St. John is already in prison by the time this exchange occurs between the disciples of St. John and our Lord. St. John has already been imprisoned by Herod. And so many souls could fall into that same category. There are so many Herod souls, we can say, because they prefer to silence the grace and inspirations of God rather than be at odds with them, or instead of being at odds with those who are pleasing to them. And as a result, there is no gaze to heaven. Their end is this life. They have only a concern of this life. And flowing from that, the whole idea of happiness is replaced with pleasure. And we see it everywhere. The underlying maxim, enjoy as much as you can in this life of everything. Life is this buffet from which you can choose whatever you want. And without God in the picture, this hope of the world centers on what the here and now can bring it. All goods that are proper to this life are going to be passing by nature, and therefore they're going to be unsatisfying. Father Edward Lean writes in one of his books, "We seek God plus. We seek God more for the next world rather than now, plus a certain contentment of life for ourselves." And his point in saying those words is that it is impossible, by the very nature of things, to possess God plus. God is all, and we are made for that all. In the first Vespers of this Sunday, the antiphon, "Behold, the Lord shall appear and will not deceive us. Though he tarry, wait for him, and he will come and will not delay." Perhaps it was different in the monastic office, but in the Roman office, this was the text. There are no words that say, "Don't worry until you see him, and then start doing something about it. Then start preparing once you see him." Because time is fleeting. Here we are already, the second Sunday of Advent. And at the end of it all, God is the only thing, the only one that counts. And so our focus in Advent is preparing for our Lord who will come. Not might come, maybe if he's so inclined, but will come. And so we have this hope for a promised good, the promised Savior. Now, a lesson for us, especially in this season, but it's not exclusive to this season, is that we can never accuse God of deceiving us. We heard it in the epistle today, God's fidelity. He wills to come to us and to give us what is needful to us, what is needed, what is lacking to our souls. In a word, to heal them. However, he can desire us to wait for him. And that's where we usually get into trouble. We try to rush the process. We would prefer something in the way of a drive-through spirituality. Go around and pick up what you asked for at the window and be on your merry way. We can have that temptation to skip, in a way, to skip Advent and go right away to Christmas. And we can want to ask of things, creatures, whether it's persons or things, "Art thou the Christ, or look we for another?" And we see that again, how that manifests in so many souls who lack this gaze towards heaven. How they flit about from thing to thing, from pleasure to pleasure, like hummingbirds. And with that image in mind, we can hopefully grasp up the importance of quieting our souls, of decommercializing our souls in this time. And this spirit of hope, it's informed by the reality that God, in creating us, had every intention on his part of doing whatever was necessary for us to attain that all for which we are made. And again, there is no way we can accuse God of deceiving us, that we were given somehow a faulty tool, a faulty means. But on our part, there is a requirement, and it is that of investing our whole heart. And so don't go looking for another. Wait for him. Wait for him who is the very desire of our soul, the very desire of every soul. God and friendship with him, that is our all. That is for what we are made. It is the pearl of great price. And as the parable goes with our Lord explaining it, in order to attain that pearl, there is this injunction to go and sell all. And our all, what we can lay claim to as our all, is in reality nothing. Because we have nothing of ourselves to give. All good comes from God. What good can we lay claim to as being ours that we can then give to God? Our all is nothing. But our all will attain God. It will purchase God, who cannot be purchased otherwise. And how can that be? Because if we truly are willing to give our all, then we truly want God. And with that disposition of soul, we hope for all good from God. In fact, God himself being the good. Behold, our Lord shall come with power to enlighten the eyes of his servants. And that was the hope of the martyrs. Every martyr wanted only God and were ready to give all for God. They did not have this mindset of we want God plus. And how sad it is to say that how it is such a rare thing to find a soul that desires only God. And that applies across the board to every state in life, bishops, priests, and religious included. All of us, in our own way, we're professionals at keeping a foot in both worlds, straddling the fence. We're so given to having God plus. And that plus, so often, 99.9% of the time, is our self-love. We want to have the Messiah and to be able to look for another. Father Lean, in his same writing, refers to the fortress of self-love. And that fortress will fight for its rights until the day we die. And only God's grace can overcome that self-love. And so we should take stock now in this time of Advent, in this time of preparation, of joyful, hopeful expectation. Do we truly hope, peacefully and perseveringly, do we truly hope for a Savior, for a healer? For the same word is used for to heal and to save in Greek. Do we truly hope for that Savior for our souls? Or are we disposed to desire only him? Or do we keep our fingers crossed behind our back looking for another. So as we commence this second week of Advent, take your soul to Our Lady. She always lived in this disposition of desiring God alone. Ask her for her counsel, for her courage, for her strength, for her hope to prepare for this coming of her son at Christmas. We refer to her as the Queen of Angels and the Tower of Ivory in her litany. Go to her and ask her for what you need. And she will see, she will see to the toppling of your fortress of self-love, that your soul may be all for God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.